This is the closing market report for Friday afternoon. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrabull now. Eric, hey, thanks so much. You know, I had a pretty good-sized rain last night at my home. By my gauge, around 3.5 inches in Mahomet. I checked to see what happened on the farm, and it's either a half or 0.9 of an inch, one of the two. I know those are one and twice one and the other, but something along those lines over in Logan County. But these rains have come in, and they're pretty important at this point, I would think. How widespread were they?
You know, it's pretty widespread. We need them, too. You're right. When you kind of think about how the 2018 growing season is finishing up, we got some pockets that have been relatively dry. And we've been talking about, you know, Northern Illinois. I've just drove through parts of that area in the last couple of days here, and you can see that lawns are getting brown. We're starting to, you know, any rain we don't get at this time of year could start to take the top end of the yields off. And so the rains that came through last night, which were kind of oriented north-south, it was a band north-south moving west to east, for the most part gave much of the state between a half inch and an inch of rain. We had some incredibly heavy amounts right around Mahomet. You know, there were some locations that saw nearly 3 inches of rain, but there was really heavy rain that stretched from Macomb, Illinois, which is over in western Illinois, McDonough County, over towards Sangamon County, where Springfield is, where along that little area, we saw some spots getting as much as 5 inches of rain. So some very heavy rains in places. But I was concerned really about that northern Illinois stretch where some locations actually missed out on some of the rain from these storms kind of split around those areas. And we can have that at this time of year because we're recycling moisture out of the ground at this time of year. And if it's dry, well, you can end up getting what we call virga. That's rain that evaporates before it hits the ground. So it was dry. But I'll tell you this, after this system moves through, which it really has, you know, we're looking at a pretty decent weekend where we got some highs in the low 80s and lows that'll be in the 60s. But I'll tell you, we got another shot. So if you missed out on the rain from this last system, you have another shot. And that one will be coming up on Sunday. We'll be watching it on Sunday to our west. So the rain will likely not get here till Monday night, Tuesday morning. But it's the system way out west, got a kind of a trough that's got two pieces on it. There's a northern branch and a southern branch. And right now, because nothing is impeding the Gulf moisture, we're expecting pretty widespread showers and storms are going to stretch from even through parts of the Dakotas, but really a band stretching from Oklahoma through Kansas, Missouri, and Illinois. So that'll be coming through again. I'm hoping that the fields that were missed get this another drink, and it'll be great. I'll say this, with a trough like that coming through, we really don't see much in terms of any sort of heat stress either for at least the next 7, possibly 10 days. So if you missed out on the most recent one, then you got another chance here. But I'll tell you, I doubt a lot of people in Illinois missed out on the last night's rain because there was so much lightning. I'm sure a lot of people were woken up and there was probably quite a few scared kids and dogs last night. So it's we'll welcome the rain, but certainly it caused some issues with sleep.
Good here in the Midwest, the rest of the way out, I suppose, because we've gotten a lot of that rain. What about other parts of the world? For instance, Argentina, Brazil, South America, they're at the very beginning, early still, they're planting season not so far away, and we keep hearing that word sneak in, El Nino.
Yeah, that's right. So if you remember last year, we had a weak La Nina. That would be the opposite of El Nino, and that's where the ocean temperatures are cool in the Central Pacific rather than warm. Well, this year we're going back toward the warm regime, which means it would be an El Nino year. Now, what's up in the air, what we're all trying to figure out as meteorologists, is what is the strength and the position of the El Nino going to be? Because if the El Nino hugs the west coast of South America, that's much different than an El Nino that's strong in the Central Pacific. Also, where is the warm water going to extend into the South Pacific? And right now, I don't think it is. So we're looking here at the development of a weaker El Nino. Now, why do we have to talk about this? Well, generally, when there's an El Nino, the Amazon region and the northern growing regions of Brazil tend to have more drier risks. Now, that correlation is weak, but it is there. When there's an El Nino, Argentina typically is very wet. And what we see right now from our longer range models, we have 8 of them running in the U.S., and I'm also going to add in here the ECMWF, the European model. They've all shown a pretty consistent picture that October, November, December, January, so those 4 months, are looking to be wet in Argentina. And that's a complete shift over what we had a year ago when there was a La Nina there causing so much trouble with drought. So we see a pretty consistent picture from our long-range models, but those long-range models are not gold. They don't perfectly predict every single time, but they're responding to this developing weak El Nino. I'll tell you the other benefit from this El Nino is that it's currently producing quite a bit of wind shear across the Atlantic, which has really shut down any development of any major hurricanes. Because just remember, a year ago right now, we were watching the development of Harvey. So just to tell you where we are in the season, a year ago, we were already talking about our storm began with the letter H. So quite a difference a year makes. I will say this, though, about Brazil. Brazil, the correlations between El Nino and La Nina are relatively weak, so much to the point that they're hard to use as a preseason forecasting kind of technique here. We're just going to have to wait to see how the monsoon sets up later on in October, November, December to see if they're going to be in the rain or they're not going to be this year. So that's our wild card, and Brazil has the ability to produce. So we're going to have to watch them carefully.
One other thing before I let you go for the day. We've been checking in on Europe. They've suffered greatly to this point. Any change coming for them?
You know, so to give you that European forecast, I'm going to rely on the European model because they kind of run it there in-house. And I'll tell you this, when I use the 51-member ensemble, just to kind of get a picture on what precipitation and temperatures look like over the next 10 to maybe 15 days, overall, they're going to continue on their dry bias. So the model right now is picking up on a drier than average condition. Doesn't mean it's not going to rain. It's just the overall pattern is dry. Now, in sharp contrast, over the U.S. major growing regions, the European model is showing a wet bias for the next 10 days. But the warm dry bias just means that as they try to finish out their crop year, they're going to continue to see less than favorable conditions, which would be good for the U.S. markets.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible. I'm Todd Gleason.